Good. Well, you ready for the word? Come on, let's lean in and let's believe for God to speak to us today. We're going to read from Numbers 13, and we're going to read a few verses from verse 26 to 33, and then we'll skip a few verses over to chapter 14 and verse 3. It says this, and this is about the people of Israel have come out of captivity of Egypt, been there for 400 years, and they're spying out the land that God has promised them. And this is what it says. They've sent some spies to report on it, and this is what happens. They come back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites, and all the other ones live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." When I read that verse, I just think of William Wallace and Braveheart and that kind of moment. This is like Caleb's moment, but it doesn't end like that. It says this, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.'" Then just a few verses, Numbers 14 and verse 3, it says this, "Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" The title of my message for all of those taking notes this morning is this: who told you you're a grasshopper? Who told you you're a grasshopper? I thought about that because we've got the petting zoo next week, and I thought I would bring some live grasshoppers here, and I tried to get Debbie to get some live grasshoppers, but she refused and said, no chance. I don't know if you, I don't know if like me, you realize that your thinking has a big effect on what you do in life. That the way you think and even your attitude has a big effect on what you do in life. Our young people, who pretty much all of them are out in Youth AM now, go on kind of like 3 days away. We call it getaway. And we changed the name of it because we go, the young people go in the Easter holidays. And the first one we did, we called Summerfest in the Easter holidays. And it was definitely not summer because, well, we had a nice day and we had a big water fight, and then everyone, we were camping at this moment, and everyone left their tent, towels out to dry on like their guide ropes of their tents. We woke up the next morning and they were all frozen. And so we realized we can't call it Summerfest. And so I think it was my wife, Debbie, who came up with the name Getaway. And they go to Getaway. Well, one year when me and Debbie were youth pastors, we went to Getaway and went to a place called Whitemore Lakes. And it's like an activity center. It's part of a Christian charity. And they have got this activity center. And we used to do this thing called the Blitz, where you do loads of different activities like archery, but they had this big obstacle course. And on the obstacle course, you used to, you know what you do on an obstacle course. You go through different obstacles, but one of them was you stood on a platform and you had to jump and grab this metal bar hung from rope, and you were obviously harnessed up and you had your helmet on and everything was all safe. It'd been very different if I'd have organized it, but luckily the venue were organizing it for us. But I got up onto that platform and I'm about to jump, and all of these fear and thoughts go through my head. Like, what, you know, and I'm stood there and the platform is shaking and I'm stood there and, you know, I'll admit I'm not like super afraid of heights, but I'm not great with heights. And so I'm stood there and I'm looking down. And have you ever had that moment where you just have all of the thoughts of what could go wrong going through your head? Doesn't even have to be a moment like that. And so I'm trying to pluck up the courage to make the leap. I'm not sure he was still one of our young people. He was in definitely 18, 19 at this point, but a certain, and many people will know him, Joel Phantom, decides to shout out, Nathan, you need to jump, Zion's on the other side in trouble. And I'm like, that does not help me, Joel. But I got over the fear, I made the jump, and afterwards, you know, the adrenaline and everything's going, and you kind of like, you get down and you're like, what was I so scared about? But how many of us know that in life, our thinking can lead us to certain places? Our thinking can stop us from doing certain things, but also our thinking and our attitude can lead us to different places. Verse Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the first part of it says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I just thinking about this, the times that my attitude or my thinking has stopped me from moving forward. Anyone else? That our attitude and our thinking has stopped us from doing something that we love or taking that next step or even asking somebody a question. I don't know, but our attitude and our thinking has such a power on our life. I would say it like this, that it is pivotal to the life we live. That our thinking and the way that we think becomes pivotal to the life that we live. That many times we can live a life and we can cause ourselves to shrink back. We can cause ourselves to pull back. We can cause ourselves to not take those risks. We can cause ourselves to play it safe. We can even end up with regrets because of moments of thinking that have caused us to not do certain things. Or we can have thinking that, we'll call it this, stinking thinking, that stinking that causes us to miss the blessing that's around us. It gets our eyes off of the very things, the blessings that are around us, and that our thinking is so powerful. Jesus actually said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it's this whole attitude of our thinking then enters our heart, and out of our heart, our life begins to speak. If you want to know where your thinking's been going, begin to watch what you say. Begin to see how you react. Begin to see how you react in certain moments, or even think about certain things. You can see it in your speaking. And so we can talk ourselves out of going for something, or we can even talk ourselves into going chasing after things that we don't really need because of our thinking. I've met so many people that go chasing things because they think that will get them acceptance. That will bring the fulfillment. That will bring the life. But how many of us know that our thinking determines how we live? And so today we could call it our grasshopper mentality. Because I think for many of us, we live maybe smaller lives than God is calling us to. We even think less of ourselves and we have this grasshopper mentality. We have this grasshopper mentality. Let's think about these people that we just read the story of. They've been rescued out of Egypt. 400 years they've been slaves in Egypt. 400 years, that's generation after generation after generation who've endured slavery in Egypt. They've been under slavery, they've been under the rule and reign of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness right now. And the promise from God is they're going to take the promised land. There's a promised land. There's a land that God has set them apart. They've been in the wilderness less than a year. And they've been experiencing miracle after miracle after miracle. I'll just give you a snapshot. But you want to read this story. And maybe you've even seen movies of this story. Or you've heard of these stories. But there was the parting of the Red Sea. They got to the sea and Moses puts his staff in it and it parts so they can walk through it. That's a miracle. All right, only three of us agree today. Like, have you walked up to the ocean when you are on the beach and put your foot in it or put a stick in it expecting it to split open so you could just walk through it? Doesn't happen. Doesn't even happen in the Chesterfield Canal. I wouldn't put my foot in there, okay? Who knows what you would find. But it's a miracle. There's this incredible miracle. They're experiencing manna. What's manna? This food that's coming from heaven every single day for them. Like when God first sends manna to them, he tells them not to store it because it'll go off after one day. And he wasn't like my granddad where you just cut out the green bits of the bread. So then, you know, it was like, he used to do it with cheese. Okay, and Sam reminded me today, Sam's my youngest brother, he reminded us the other day that when he used to cut the holes out of the cheese, we used to say to him, why have we got holes in our cheese, Grandad? And he used to say, you'll pay more for holes in your cheese. But they're receiving this food from heaven every single day. They're told not to store it. They try to store it. It goes off like God said. But every single day they're receiving this food, sustenance, the very thing that they need to live, to keep healthy, to keep going, to keep their energy. It's a miracle. Like, I think it's a miracle when I come home and Debbie's got food on the table for me. It's amazing. It's a miracle. That's not a dig, Debbie. She's hoping for more miracles that it would happen once for her. But it's a miracle. They're receiving this food. There's a cloud by day that they follow. Like, which way should we go? I mean, you know, we're praying against clouds today. We don't need a cloud today, God, because we want a picnic and games. And we like some sun. But who would love, like, a cloud by day just to know where to go? In life, they had a cloud by day, but then they have fire by night. As a reminder, they're not alone. It's a miracle. They're receiving miracle after miracle after miracle, and they get to the place and they are staring at the promise, the very thing that God has got for them. They're staring at it. They go in. They, like, the 12 spies go in. There's this report. And 10 of them come back. Caleb comes back. We heard about it. He's like, let's take this land. We can do this. But 10 come back and they talk 2 million. Listen to this. 10 men talk 2 million people out of the promise. 10 men. 10 men, because of their thinking, because of their attitude, talked 2 million people out of the promise. You see, we're not much different today because we love bad news. We don't love receiving bad news, we love to hear bad news. We go searching for bad news, we go searching for it, and we attach ourselves. Studies show us that actually we attach ourselves to the negative more than we do the positive. We attach our lives to the negative more than we do the positive. We attach ourselves to the negative more than the positive. That's why if you're on social media, your algorithm will many times will suit what you search or what you're after. But the very things that get the most views or the most watches are things like fights and negative news. And it's not the positive things. we attach ourselves. And so in the remaining time that I have with us, my kind of goal today is to get us out of the grasshopper mentality. Because who told you you're a grasshopper? 10 men come back and we're just like grasshoppers. Who told you you're a grasshopper? Who told you that you're a grasshopper? So there's three questions for us to ask ourselves to get out of that grasshopper mentality. The first one is this: how do you see life? How do you see life? In verse 31 of Numbers 13, it says this: all the men had gone up with him, said, "We can't." We'll just stop there. We can't. We can't. George MacDonald said it like this: attitude is more important than facts. Attitude is more important than facts. And so here in verse 31, the guys are saying, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. Their attitude was, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't because we're weak. You see, no matter how good life is, if you have a bad attitude, you're in trouble. Because you won't see the blessing all around you. You won't see what God has been doing. Let's go back, because I've just highlighted to us. They were receiving miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they see the promised land and it looks a little bit tough. And it's like, we can't do it. We can't do it. And so that bad attitude comes to a place where actually it lives our life. We live our life saying we can't. We live our life saying we can't. But here's the promise for us: no matter how bad life gets, if you have a good attitude, you've got hope. No matter how bad life gets, if you've got a good attitude, you've got hope. And so how you see life matters. Verse 32 says they spread among the Israelites a bad report. They spread a bad report. That there was God's blessing and God's provision, but they spread a bad report. When I was reading this, some commentators on this verse say in the original Hebrew language, it was like they were whispering. They were whispering. Let's go back. 10 men talk 2 million people out of the promise. How did they do it? Whispering. A bad report. Now, it might not be somebody else, but for many of us, we whisper to ourselves. We whisper bad reports to ourselves. We whisper things. And even some commentators would say what they were saying wasn't fully true. It was not the facts. But here's where I want us to land. It's our attitude towards things that really matters. It's our attitude. Many of you know we got 3 boys in our house, and so sometimes it just feels like we're saying, stop it, stop doing that. Because there's a moment where we just know that if we let them go that far, they won't just go that far. They're at the other end of the room. I can't reach long enough, and it, you know, who knows what could happen. And so there'll be moments where you know, like you're telling your kids off, you're trying to correct them, and all of a sudden, you know, there's 3 of them, and they start blaming one another. Apart from Jude. Jude's our youngest. He just got nope. Or Jude just gets down, like, in baby position like this. And you're like, stop faking it, Jude. But Silas now will say, it's Jude. It was Zion. And I'm thinking, Zion's in the other room. It's not done anything. Like, Silas will start crying, and we'll say, Zion, what's happened? And he'll say, well, he was doing this, and then this happened. And I went, yeah, but what did you do? And, well, it was him. And all of this. But it doesn't stop when we're kids. Now, we take this into adult life. We begin to blame other people. We don't take responsibility. We begin to blame others, and we begin to do that because we don't want anyone to look bad on us, or, you know, maybe we have a defensive nature. Whatever it is, some of that might even be in the psychology of how we've grown up. I'm not an expert on that, but I think what happens is when we begin to blame others, or we begin to put that on others, we begin to have an I can't mentality. We begin to look at ourselves, I can't, and we look at ourselves down because we're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with where we are. We're not honest with our mistakes. And I think for many of us, actually, our mistakes can lead us to life. Our failures can actually lead us to learning and growing and moving forward, and our mistakes can do that. And so, but it's so important how we see life. They come back and they say, the land's good. The land's good. They even bring some fruit back from the land. They say it's good, but we can't. We're not strong enough. Good circumstances don't change your attitude. Many times in my life, I've said things like, if I just had this, if I just had that, If I just know, circumstances actually reveal our attitude. And we have an opportunity to look at our attitude and go, how do I see life? And then we get to that verse in Numbers 14, and it's like they want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to the life, to the slavery that they'd been under. We can't do this, so let's just go back. Henry Ford said this: whether you believe you can or cannot, you're right. Whether you believe you can or you cannot, you're right. If today you walk out of here and you go, I can't do that, you're right. Because your attitude and your thinking will lead you to that. But if you walk out of here going, I can. But the amazing thing is this: Caleb fought against that attitude. And I wonder if today we could be people who fight against the attitude of I can't, fight against the attitude of we can't, fight against the attitude of we can't do this. Numbers 14 and verse 24, I'll read it from here. It says this: but my servant Caleb, I want you to see this, has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Caleb, same place, seeing the very same thing, had a different outlook. Same giants, supposedly. Same giants he's seeing, but a different spirit. The same land, but a different viewpoint. I think God wants to actually take us from viewing things literally as they are and to see them the way he sees them, to see the future that he has for us. Sorry, some of you are new here. We have a rule at Icon. One claps, we all clap, but no golf claps. But what was the difference? It told us in those verses he had a different attitude. He had a different attitude. Another version would say he had a different spirit. He gets it. He gets that God's for him. He gets it. He gets it so much so that his kids, as well as him, but his kids and the future generations possess the promise that God has given them. That where it says he had a different attitude or a different spirit in some other versions, it was like Caleb could see what God could do. It was like God, he could see the next thing. Some commentators would say that actually Caleb could see himself in that next season, in that very thing. And maybe today is more about the next than we realize. that the decisions and the attitude and the thoughts that we have today and how we frame those thoughts today actually has an impact on our tomorrow. It actually has an impact on our life beyond just today. Maybe today is more about the next. Maybe it's more about our kids, our grandkids than we know. So that not only do we possess what God has got for us, but that they can possess the life that God has got for them. So that actually they can walk in. You know, our vision here at Icon Church for every single person is human flourishing. We want people to live their best life. We want people to live their best life. That means I can live my best life right now, but I can live my best life hopefully and helping and possessing the best life that God has got for me, and that the next can live their best life as well. But that we have to begin to shape our thinking and our attitude about how we see life. Got to move on quick. Second thing, how do you see you? How do you see you? They had a wrong view of life. But they also had a wrong view of themselves. A wrong view of themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, small and weak, insects to be squashed. I did a bit of research into grasshoppers for this message. Side note, you're preparing a message. Who knew, like, when I was thinking about preparing a message that I'd be researching what do grasshoppers do? So thankful for Google. I wasn't going to watch any YouTube videos on grasshoppers. I'll read it. Grasshoppers basically do nothing. They do nothing except destroy. There have been plagues, there have been famines caused by grasshoppers. They do nothing. And they were seeing themselves as grasshoppers. Write this down. Knowing our identity is key to our victory. Knowing our identity is key to our victory. If we have a wrong self-image, we can't move forward with that wrong self-image. You can't hate yourself and move into all that God has got for you. You can't conquer with a grasshopper mentality. God has more for you. Healthy self-image is so important. I know it feels a little like self-motivational today, but actually it's biblical that our thinking directs our lives, and the way that we begin to think about ourselves and the way we begin to think about life has an impact on our lives. How are you going to move forward if you think you're a grasshopper? How are you going to overcome some things if you think you're just small and weak? How are you going to do it? And where did they get this from? Well, they got this from 400 years of that slave mentality. They got it from 400 years of being put down. They got it from 400 years of being told what to do. They got it from 400 years of people telling them they're not good enough, that they're small and they're weak. But we can't step into what God has got for us if we still feel like we're small and weak. They could not walk into the blessing that God had for them still feeling like a slave. You see, Israel, the people were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. That Egypt was not out of Israel. I wrote it like this: Israel was out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of Israel. And so my question to you is Egypt out of you? I love this. The Bible is this word sanctification. It talks about us being sanctified. And that word basically means that we're on a process of becoming like Jesus. That this is a process we are working. And so for many people, they think that there should be like that lightning bolt moment where God strikes you with lightning bolt and everything's fine. But can I tell you my experience, and probably most of our experience? God kind of does it step by step in a process. It's one step in front of the other. It's walking towards the promise in front of, again and again. It's deciding I'm going to align my thinking with God's thinking. I'm going to align my thinking about myself with God's thinking. It's not that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. There needs to be a humility as well. But that actually we just walk step by step. maybe for some of us, we have to live on our second thought. And we have to dictate our second thought because our first thought, because it's been ingrained in us, our first thought is always negative, negative, negative. But today I'm going to decide, oh, I've had that negative thought. No, on second thoughts, I'm going to live this way. On second thoughts, this is who God's calling me to do. On second thoughts, this is who God has got for me. And I'm going to begin to align my thinking in that way. It might take some time, but the life of faith is the most rewarding life. And it's so different from the world. But the world will always call us back. I had a friend once who came, incredible story about how he wanted to make a decision to follow Jesus. And I met him here outside of a church service, led him here. And then he asked me about his lifestyle and did he have to change his lifestyle? And I'm not going to tell you to do that. That's like, I'm like, well, if you're going to follow this life of faith, it's one step in front of the other. And I believe if you'll follow Jesus, he might call you to do some of those things. But today, let's just celebrate. But there was always this call back on his life. Life to the world. There was always this call back, and it was a moment he had to make a decision. Am I going to be called back to the world, or I'm going to follow Jesus? I'd love to be able to tell you that he's following Jesus, but he still keeps getting called back to the world, and it's so powerful for us in our lives, and it's how we see ourselves. Can I do this? You know, the people there, the story, they long for, you know, they get this miracle of manna coming from heaven, and yet they're longing for leeks and onions in Egypt. I've never longed for leeks and onions. But maybe they cooked them a special certain way that was really tasty, I don't know. But I've never longed for leeks and onions. But here's the thing, Egypt was always calling them back. It was better when. No, it wasn't. You was a slave. You were told what to do. Oh, it's better than. No, you don't want to go back to that setting. You actually, the thing is it's the process of becoming who Jesus is calling you to be, and it's the process of revealing who you're called to be. And many times people go back to that setting because they knew themselves in that setting and they don't want to do the work of finding who God has called them to be. I want to say today, take that process. That sanctification that Jesus has for you. That sanctification for all of us. Those grasshoppers, they had that grasshopper mentality. But Caleb's telling them a different story. Caleb's coming and saying, we're not grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers. We can do this. We were born for it. We can walk in what God has got for us. And it's the same for us today, that you can do it, that you can walk in what God has got for you. They were stronger than they realized. There are different parts. I'm going to skip to Joshua now, which is the story of how they took the land. And this is the land. There's the gates of Jericho. I want you to hear this. It says this, now the gates of Jericho, it's Joshua 6 and verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people that the Israelites were afraid of are now afraid of the Israelites. Like, hold on, they thought, they were afraid of them, thinking they were like going to destroy them. And yet they were afraid of the Israelites as well. They were tightly shut up. There's this moment you've got to see yourself differently. How do you see you? Today might be a day you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your value, to reveal your worth, to reveal today who you are in Jesus. Lastly, team, come up quick, because I'm looking forward to a picnic and beating Jordan at cricket. How do you see God? How do you see life? How do you see you? How do you see God? See, these people were glorifying their enemy. They were making their enemy big, but they were tearing themselves down, and then they begin to attack the character of God. I read it right at the start, Numbers 14 and verse 3 says this, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Where did they get this? Why did they think God would bring them there to then let them fail? Where did they get this? Because they were experiencing, I said it multiple times, they're experiencing miracle after miracle after miracle. Is this just a setup so that God can destroy you? Is this just a setup that God just wants to kill them? I want to remind someone today that God's not brought you this far to leave you now. He's not brought you this far. You're not on this journey. It might not feel like I'm all the way there, but I wasn't where I was started. And God's not brought you this far to leave you there right now. But it was there in their thinking. Their stinking thinking. It was there in their attitude. How many of us know I can be guilty of this one negative and we can say, oh, that's it. It's all over. One negative, oh, just my luck. You know, the other night I was playing football, couldn't score. It's like one of those games. Had one disallowed, hit the crossbar, hit the post, one cleared off the line. Oh, just my luck, I'll never score again. I wish I was like Jamie Vardy. If no one knew, I played with Jamie Vardy, by the way. But we do this in life. I guess I deserve it. No. The grace of God, the unmerited favor, the grace of God, that even if we don't think we deserved it, He gave it for us. That we didn't have to earn the love of God. We didn't have to earn His grace. We didn't have to earn His forgiveness, but it was freely given to all of us today. And so how you view God matters, because how you walk in life, it will change your thinking. Romans 8, 28 to 31. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. So, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? That we're more than conquerors. That our view of God has to be one that God is for me. That our view of God has to be one that God has good things in store. That even in the midst of bad things, God can turn it for good. Even in the midst of bad things, God can use it to help me walk through and become the person that I am. I've realized something in my life. That God will use the bad things to reveal my character. But many times He'll use those things to actually develop my character, to develop my thinking, to develop my attitude, that even in the midst of the worst circumstances, I can have a good attitude. And if I've got a good attitude, I got hope. And I got hope because God is for me. I got hope because if He's for me, nothing can stand against me. There's nothing against you that God cannot deal with. There's nothing against you that can defeat what God has for you. Goes on, Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? This is the God we serve. A God who is for us. A God who graciously will give us all things. You can't move forward if you think God is against you. And so come on, let's stand. You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of God. Who told you you're a grasshopper? No. You're a child of God today. You can walk in the promise of God. If God is for you, who can stand against you? We're going to sing and we're going to worship, but I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward now. And during the song, even after the song, you can come forward. Anything spoken to you, anything going on in your life, I want you to come forward and be prayed for today. Because I believe today there is a shift that can take place in our perspective, our attitude and our thinking. So come on, prayer team, you begin to make your way forward just down to the side and don't wait for somebody else. I'll go when. No. Step out. Have that mentality of, no, God can do something in my life. God is for me today. I want to access all that God has for me. You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of God. You're not a grasshopper today. God is for you. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Pray that our thinking and our attitude would begin to shift in the name of Jesus. That today we would walk into the promises that you have for us. Today we begin to align our thinking of life with the way, the life that you have for us. We declare, Jesus, your words, that you have life and life to the full for every single one of us. So we begin to do it. We begin to align our thinking about ourselves and we pray, Holy Spirit, right now, would you reveal your value, the value that you place on our lives? That right now in people's hearts, I pray over any single person who looks at themselves small and down, they would know the value that you sent your son Jesus freely to die for all of us. Why? Because you love us. Not because of anything we do, but because you love us and because you thought we were worth it. And today, would you change our thinking to know that you are for us today, God? That even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of the bad circumstance, that today, God, we would know that you're for us. And so we declare right at the end that if God, you are for us, nothing can stand against us. And everyone said,